This week is Canada Day week, as I said, and it's like they said every time we hear "All Canada," the first thing we think of is hockey. And anyway, we're living in a blessed land, and whether we recognize it or not, we do. And if you talk to people that have traveled over different parts of the world, we haven't traveled a whole lot. We did a little bit, but you talk to people that's done a lot of traveling in the world, they can tell you how good it is to be able to come back to Canada. Realize the freedoms that we have and the privileges that we have in this nation. And there are people in other countries lining up at our embassies trying to get the privilege to be able to come to our country. We've been born here free, and sometimes we don't even recognize how good that is. But we truly are a blessed people. We're going to look at a few thoughts today. Next week we'll get back into our study about the end times, and probably got another two or three messages I'd like to do on the end times before we finish up the series. So I think we got 8 parts done, and we'll get into that again next week. Excuse me. We're going to look at a scripture today that says this here: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." There's a lot of nations out there today that are worshiping all kinds of gods, worshiping all kinds of idols and different things. And sometimes we think, well, in this day in which we live, you know, we don't see that. But listen, there's a lot of people in the world today that are still serving gods that are idols, gods that are just man-made. And sometimes, as Paul went there in Athens in the book of Acts, the Bible says that Paul was walking in the street. You know the story, how he saw his image set up to the unknown God. And Paul said, the person that you're trying to worship, he said, I know who he is. And then Paul preached Jesus to them. Anyway, before we look into God's Word, let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you today for the privilege of growing up in this country. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of hearing the gospel even at a young age. And sometimes, Lord, we take that so much for granted. And we realize, Lord, there are people in the world that has never ever heard the name of Jesus. People in the world, Lord, the only time they've heard of Jesus has been used as a curse word. But Father, we're so thankful. Lord, your Word tells us there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Lord Jesus, you said yourself, no one can come to the Father but through me. So Father, we thank you, Lord, that we had the privilege, and we still have that privilege, being able to come together to worship you. Lord, to be able to come in freedom and not be afraid, Lord, that the authorities would come in and stop us. But Father, we have the freedom to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we just ask that you would be with us as we look into the Word of God this morning. Enlighten our understanding, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. We're going to look at some scriptures. This is Toronto, as you know. We're going to look at some scripture today from Psalm chapter 33. And we're just going to go down through it and comment on a few things as we're going. And then a few more pictures at the end of it. Psalm chapter 33, if you're following along in your Bible. He says, "Shout for joy in the Lord, O ye righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings." The psalmist is saying here that God is worthy to be worshipped. And this being Canada Day week, and, you know, I don't know about you, I think we all do. We look back at the founding of our nation, the foundation that our nation came from. And we realize that we're believing God. And different nations have got in their constitutions and different things. And I remember back in 1982 when Pierre Trudeau was trying to bring the North America, British North America Act to Canada, they called it. And Canada, we got our own constitution, our own charter of rights and different things. And many of us can remember when that was done. But one of the things that he tried to do, that the government tried to do at the time, is leave God out of it. And there's a big uproar right across Canada that says, put God back in there. And they finally succumbed to it and put God back in. And just last year, they were talking again about changing the national anthem, taking God out of the national anthem. There are some people out there, they're only the minority, but they shout like they're the majority. And they put all kinds of pressure on the right people or the wrong people, whichever way, whatever side you're looking from. And they put all kinds of pressure there to get people to change. And we see it happening in a lot of our things that are going on in our life. this is just on a sidetrack. Now, just how many notice this week there's all kinds of talk about gays? Everybody knows it on TV? Everything you turn on, Gary and Tony is having a baby. You know? And they had one there on CNN the week, across the bottom, growing up in a lesbian home. And they said, studies proved, and I don't know who did the study, they said, study proved that children growing up in gay and lesbian homes are better off than children grow up in a normal home. Exactly. But see, this is what I was saying. Like, the world has gone crazy. You know? And when I just did a wedding, and I mentioned to a couple of people up there at the wedding the other day, some of our relatives from Newfoundland, and a couple of them are out in Alberta now, they're in military and different things, and we all stood around talking. We're looking at the marriage license. You know, as you get married, you got to bring a marriage license out. And at one time, on the left-hand side was the husband, or the groom, it should be, was the groom, and on the opposite side was the bride. The government's changed it. They never told anybody about it, but I've noticed the last few that I've done, it's changed now to applicant and co-applicant. So you don't have to say husband and wife anymore. See how subtle the devil brings stuff in. But anyway, we're living in a country that supposedly is founded upon Christian, Judeo-Christian values. And when we say Judeo-Christian, if people don't understand what we're trying to say there, is Judaism from the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments and all these different things, the laws that God gave us, and the Christian values as well as we see in the New Testament. So Judeo-Christian values. And we you know, in North America, Canada, United States, over in England was founded on the same foundation, Australia. Some of these nations were founded upon the same foundation of the Judeo-Christian values. And these are the nations where freedom is at. But sadly to say that even some of our freedom is dwindling away because we've allowed other people to come in and take it over. But anyway, the psalmist said, shout to the Lord, shout for joy in the Lord, O ye righteous. Praise befits the upright. In other words, praise is the right thing for the upright to do, for those that are believers to do. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre as a musical instrument, and make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Man, I get through this. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with a loud shout, even when you're doing Old Canada. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. You know, the word of God tells us that God loves the world. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know that. But the Bible says God is so loving. I mean, there are some nations in the world, I tell you, if I was God, you wouldn't have to worry about those nations anymore. That's the way I feel, and I'm sure a lot of you feel the same way. There's some things in the world that, man, if I could have my way. But listen, God is so merciful. God is so good. The Bible says he makes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. You know, when communism was ruling most of Europe, and it's still there in pockets now, but when it was ruling most of Europe, I mean, they still woke up every morning, the sun shining, the rain falling, and the crops growing, and all these everything, because God loves people. You know, God is a good God. A lot of people are afraid of God to do this. And God, listen, God is on your side. God is not your problem. God loves you. He loved you enough to give his son to die for you. So anyway, he says, the word of the Lord is upright, and all his works are done in faithfulness. Aren't you glad God doesn't get ticked off like we do? What ticks you off? Anyway, don't answer. Just for you to think about. The Bible says he loves righteousness and justice. This is again why, you know, the children of God ought to love justice, not revenge. See, there's a difference between justice and revenge. We ought to love justice. Justice should win out overall. And we ought to love that the earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Now, when it says here, the Lord, he loves righteousness and justice. When we look at these things, this is the things that honor God. God loves them. Righteousness and justice. When our founding fathers laid the foundation for our country, and the same thing to our neighbors of the south, when they laid the foundation, they used biblical values. of government. This is why you don't see our kind of government all over the world. You see it in a few pockets because the Judeo-Christian nations founded it upon the values of the Scriptures. And when they founded the governments in this way, the government was supposed to set up that the law was the rule of the land. And no one was above the law. That meant no government, no elected official or anyone else could change things just for their benefit. Now we know, and you know as well as I do, there's a lot of corruption. And, you know, people are playing favorites all the time. But the system was set up so that shouldn't have happened. But God loves for His people to live in justice and in righteousness. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. It lifts the nation up. And when we begin to live that way and begin to operate that way, and if the nations live that way and operate that way, 99% of the problems in the world will be solved. You see, here's the thing about it. When we serve God from an inward impulse, rather than an outward pressure put upon us, you don't need all the laws. I was listening to somebody preach a while ago, and they were saying, they're talking about the Ten Commandments, is what they're talking about. And in our revival services starting in January, that's what we're going to do. We're going to take, for 10 months, we're going to take one of the Ten Commandments each month, and then we'll clue it up at the end in November, December next year. But the Ten Commandments, somebody mentioned one time, they said, you know, if and this is on a radio broadcast that they mentioned from the States. They mentioned, well, if so-and-so, I don't know who it was, some commentator, they said, if so-and-so had his way, they said, they would go back to the Bible and govern us from the Bible. And he said, who would want, he said, all those laws. And one of the callers called in, and rightfully so, one of the callers called in, he said, what do you mean, all those laws? There's only 10 of them. There's only 10 of them. I mean, if you went to the Book of Canada, wherever to keep your laws and things like this, you'd be an old man before you got through them. All the different things that we, you know, the laws and regulations that are in the land. But if you see, all these laws are put there just trying to line us up to keep the Ten Commandments. If we would go back and obey the Ten Commandments, you wouldn't need all these other laws. You know, we need to be founded upon the values that God. The Bible says that God gathers the waters of the sea as a heap, and He puts them in the deep, puts the deeps in storehouses. Remember when Noah's flood? The Bible says the fountains of the deep were opened up. God did all this. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. When we get a correct understanding of who God is. And here's the thing about it. See, people, and you can go back in history, you can find this all through society. When people start to take God out of their constitutions, out of their governing documents, then there's no moral standard anymore. You go right back to the book of Judges. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And how many knows what was right in my eyes is not the same as right in somebody else's eyes out there on the street, or your eyes, or anything else. And if we all do, if we're only just our own, governs everything by our own thoughts, the world's going to be an awful mess. You go back to the book of Judges, you see this over and over. The Bible talks about after the kings died and everything else, and it came around after David and Solomon around down through, and right on down to the last king when he died, and Israel began to be so corrupt. The Bible says everyone did that which was right in their own eyes, and there was nothing but chaos. And then the Bible says, but because God loved them, He would raise up judges, and they would bring them back again. And God raised up Samson and Gideon and Deborah and all these different ones, and He would bring them all back in, and then they would straighten out for 30 years, 40 years, and then the judge would die, and then they'd go right back again. Everyone did that which is right in their own eyes, and it just went into a spiral going down and down and down. And before they got too far, God would raise up another judge and bring them back again and give them victory again and get Israel to tear down the altars to Baal and everything else and start to worship God again. And when that judge died, it started to spiral down again, and that happened over and over and over and over. And this is why you might not agree with this, but it's true anyway. This is why there's a movement afoot by the media and other people that are atheistic, agnostic, and has got no Christian values. And they feel that the only problems in the world are the Christian values holding people back. And you see, you know what it's like? Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying children are bad. We were all children at one time. So, you know. But with children, for instance, how many growing up, when you got into your teenage years, wish that your mother and father would just shut up? Put your hand down, Sif. Right? Because we didn't like the laws. We didn't like the rules. And this is what society is doing to God. God, if you just be quiet and don't say anything, if the Christians would shut up and don't tell us we're doing wrong, everything would be okay. But how many of you know it's not okay? That's when you get into problems, when you let go of the rules. And God gave us rules. That's why, as parents, God has, you know, structured the family in such a way that the parents laid in the rules for the children. And sometimes you got nothing to go on, and they say, "How come?" You say, "Just because I said it." That's the only way you can come sometimes, you know, lay the foundation. And sometimes we have to obey it, not because we understand it, but because God said it. Because God sees what's down the road. I can't see 100 years down the road. You know, so if I let down the guard today in my children, their children are going to, you know, they say, and I only read this a little while ago, probably a year or two ago, it stuck with me ever since. They said, what we use as a ceiling as Christians, you know, in other words, this is the extreme that we would go, like regards to allowing things sinful. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know what I'm saying. You know, letting in our guards. This is as far as I would go. I still got guidelines. But my ceiling becomes the foundation to my children. Now, I don't know if that makes sense to you or not. But if I let down the guard and say, well, I don't need to go to church today. I think I'll stay home. When my children come along, that's going to be the norm for them. That's going to be the foundation where they're going to start from, where Dad only went scatter time. Not that important. Remember last week we passed through some papers on back of the things here on Father's Day? How many people got in trouble when they had no fathers in the home? I was doing a study. One of these days I'm going to bring it in. Not doing a study. I was reading a study. It was done in Sweden, but it's the same thing worldwide. It was done in Sweden concerning families growing up in church. When the mother took the children to church faithfully, I think it was something like 16% or 13% of the children stayed in church when they got older. When the mother only went occasionally, and the father, I'm talking about the father not going at all now, when the mother only went occasionally, it was only something like 3% of the children stayed in church. But when the father took the children to church, 87% of the children either stayed in church regular or at least, you know, irregular, but they were in church. 87%. Is it any wonder why God made the father the head of the family? He's the priest of the home. And whether you realize it or not, there's an anointing upon the father, whether he's a no good father or not, there's an anointing that God has placed upon you to lead your family. Anyway, that's not got nothing to do with what I was going to preach about for me. Let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. When God created the earth, everything was created by his word. The Bible tells over in Hebrews, by faith we understand that by the word of God, the world was formed. You know the story back in Genesis. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be dry land appeared. Let there be... God spoke it into existence. You know something else? I can think of a dozen ways to go here this morning with this. When you've heard me preach lots of times about how important it is what you say. Be careful what you say. Don't talk about, this is not family week, but somebody keeps going back to this. Don't say negative, bad things about your children, about your spouse, about your church, about your country, or anything else. Because what we say come to pass. How many of you notice this? Something never crossed your mind for a long time, and all of a sudden you and your wife talk about it, and the next day something... Somebody brought it to you. So it's funny, we just talked about that yesterday. Anybody ever know stuff like that? When you talk, you bring things into existence. That's how God brought the world and the universe into existence, by his speaking. Over and over, Jesus himself said, he said, if you would say to the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, he said, you will believe in your heart, he said, you will have whatever you say. Very important. Be careful what you're saying. The Bible says, God spoke, and it came to be, he commanded, and it stood firm. When Webster's dictionary, we all familiar with that. You know, he was a Christian man, one of the founding fathers of the United States. Very, very godly man. And he understood the importance of the words, and this is why, you know, now we use it in business and everything else, but this is why he made the first dictionary. He understood that there's something powerful about the words. He said, if we can only understand what words mean, we'll know what words to say at the right time. And he gathered together some meanings of words and put it together, and that became the first dictionary. And this is why he did it. It was a godly purpose behind that. As I said, it's used in the world now for business and everything else, but this is why the dictionary first came into existence, because he understood that there's power in the word, the spoken word. The Bible says, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. We had nations gathered in Toronto this week, the leaders of the world. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. Now, it doesn't mean to say that every time, you know, governments sit down, God frustrates them. He's not saying that. But when they're doing something that's against him, God's got a way of just frustrating them. I was reading a bit of history a week about the United States. And I was trying to get some information about Canada, but this story came up and it was quite interesting. They were talking about in the Civil War. The United States... it wasn't Civil War. Anyhow, France was fighting with them. I forget what war was. Some of you, Dave, you know what it is? 1812. War of Independence, okay. Was it against France as well? I figured it would be against England. Okay, anyway. It was French. And the French decided they're going to come over and attack America. And at that time, America wasn't as powerful as it is today. And sad to say, America is getting weaker. If anybody notices that. But anyway, France decided that they were going to come over and they were going to stop the Americans from building and succeeding and everything else. And I think it was in Connecticut. One of the governors made a proclamation for all his state, and it soon spread across the United States. But he made a proclamation to all of his people in his states that on such and such a day, we're going to have a day of prayer and fasting because we can't stand against what France is going to do to us. We don't have the military to stand against them. And he gathered the people together, and it's almost like an Old Testament, you know, you see with Jehoshaphat and stuff like that. They would get together and they would cry out and ask God's forgiveness for all the sins of the nation, all these different things. And they would do this, and they brought the people together to pray and fast and seek God's face for deliverance. And the story goes on to say that France sent out, I don't know how many ships there were, and soldiers and all these different things, cannons and whatever they had at that time, sent it out and they start coming across the Atlantic. And the day that they start to pray, there's a storm came up. Some of the ships, he said, just capsized and sunk. Some got beat up so bad they had to turn around and go back home. And they said, on the last, there was only two or three ships left. And the leader of the fleet was killed. And the second in command took over. And he realized there's no way in the world we can go to America with this. So he turned around and went back home again. They gathered again. And they mustered up their troops again, and they said, we're going to go out, we're going to stop America, because they didn't want them to found... Now, it gets into a bit of politics and everything else, I guess, but America wanted to be founded not being controlled by a monarchy. This is why today they're not under Britain like we are, as Canadians. But anyway, because they felt that it was too much control over their religion, they weren't allowed to worship God as they wanted to. And this is why they set it up on this foundation. But anyway, the second time, the fleet left, more ships than they had the first time. And he said, when he got out again, they started to pray and fast again. God, you're going to have to help us because we can't do anything about it. And he said, the very same thing happened again. Another storm came up, and fog came up, and everything else, and confused them. And they started ramming into each other. And finally, just a few ships wobbled back to France again. And they called off the invasion. You see, the Bible talks about God confuses the council of the nations. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he can turn it whichever way he wants to. You know? Anyway, man, I'm going to be long. I haven't even got into the main verse yet. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Now, this is the verse we started with. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. When we recognize God as a sovereign being, anyway, this is another American illustration. I was reading the week. I'll give you another one. But I'll leave it and try to get back to Canada. But when we make God the supreme being of our nation, there's a guideline. You know what it's like in a family? Their children grow up and they're raising themselves. There's nothing but confusion. There's all kinds of problems. But if you got a head to the family, whether it's a father or a mother laying in the rules, that child is going to grow up differently. And it's the very same thing in a nation. If we got a head as God, that nation is going to be different than the rest of the nations of the world. This is why the world is running, trying to get into America, trying to get into Canada, trying to get into Britain, trying to get into Australia. People are lining up because, not saying we're perfect. Lord knows we're not perfect. But compared to the rest of the world, we got it good. We got it good, I tell you. Anyway, it take too long to answer it. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. God sees us all. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. Some people say, well, I can do this, I can get away with it. Some nations figure that they can do stuff and get away with it. They can stand against Israel in the back and not let anybody know, but listen, God sees everything that's going on. God sees everything. Same thing in our individual lives. We can do something, you can do something that I don't know about, I can do things you don't know about, but God sees everything. God sees everything. His eyes are on everyone. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. I think this is where a lot of nations are making mistakes. I think this is, even in the United States, they thought that their nation was so powerful, nothing could stop them. You're over in Afghanistan, bogged down, can't do anything. I'm not saying that they're not accomplishing anything. I shouldn't say you can't do anything, but very limited. Just a bunch of, unruly people, and they can't control it. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. Remember we sang it a little earlier, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we'll remember the name of the Lord our God. When David was king of Israel, I mentioned this a few Sundays ago, when David was king of Israel, the Bible says, God told David, he said, David, or he read, David read what God said back farther in the Old Testament. He said, he told Israel, he said, don't trust in horses for your deliverance. Now horses to them are like tanks to us. That was their military equipment. He said, don't trust in the horses and the military for your deliverance. You keep your eye upon me. And how many knows how many times Israel's gone to war when they only had a handful of people and God gave them all kinds of deliverance. The Six-Day War. I won't go into it now, but man, I tell you, I was doing some reading. I saved it. I'm going to bring it in one of these days and read it. It's amazing what God accomplished in 6 days for Israel. So God says, don't trust in your military power. Doesn't mean to say you can't prepare and be ready and all these different things. We ought to do that. God will use us, but it's not our ability that does it. It's God's anointing upon us. Anyway, the king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. When David captured all the horses from the Philistines and everybody else, David realized that the people started to trust in the horses. And this is why you get this song, some trust in chariots and some in horses. We're going to remember the Lord our God. And David sent out an order that all the horses had to be hamstrung. Cut all the tendons, or whatever you call it there, so that the people wouldn't use the horses. Realizing that if they put their trust in the horses, we're going to lose it. If we put our trust in our own military might. The Bible talks about some put their trust in man's arm, in his arm, in his strength. He said, well, we put our trust in God. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might, it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love, that He may deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in Him, because we trust in His holy name. Let Your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in You. And that's the end of the chapter. And I'm just going to just comment on a couple of things here before we finish up. In 1867, after 33 founding fathers of Confederation, this is in Canada now, not United States. After 33 founding fathers of Confederation, 29 of them were devout Christians. Sometimes we read about all America's done and everything else, and their foundation, thank God for that, because that's why we have freedom in this part of the world. But listen, Canada was laid upon foundations of Christian values as well. They believed that the new dominion of Canada should be founded upon principles from God's Word. Here's our first prime minister. You see his picture around Napanee everywhere because he was here. Here's prime ministers down through, right from John A. Macdonald. You got Stephen Harper right down the corner there. You know the scary thing about that? I can remember a lot of them. I tell you, I can remember back to right here. That's almost half of them. And I'm not old. Some of you can remember farther back than that. This was Pearson, Diefenbaker. I remember hearing Diefenbaker's name. Louis St. Laurent. Richard Bennett. William Lyon Mackenzie. How many people can remember some of them? You're almost as old as Canada. We're only in a young country, you know, compared to the countries of the world. But God has blessed us immensely. I was reading something a week. They said when Canada was founded in 1867, they had $1.2 billion from all the provinces all put together. There's four provinces actually joined. I think it was Ontario, Quebec, New Brunswick, and Nova Scotia, was it? I think it was. Or was it Manitoba? I'm not sure. Anyway, when they started out, they had $1.2 billion, which was a lot of money back then, obviously. But today, I mean, Canada's billions and millions. Canada's given away billions of dollars to help other nations. Haiti and different things. But anyway. We're 143 years old this week. The Bible says here in Psalm 72 and 8, He shall have dominion from sea to sea, from the river unto the ends of the earth. Here's Samuel Leonard Tilley. He was the premier, he was the premier of New Brunswick when they came into Confederation. And he was the one reading that morning. They're wondering what they're going to call it. We're going to call it a nation. We're going to call it a country. We're going to call it a commonwealth. What will we call our provinces all joined together? What are we going to call it? They already had approval from Queen Victoria to be able to set up their own governments and do things their way. And he said, what are we going to call it? And he was in his morning devotions early in the morning before he met to in their meetings. And he was reading Psalm chapter 72 and came into verse 28. Psalm 7 was in verse 28. He shall have dominion from sea to sea. And he came into the meeting that morning. He said, gentlemen, he said, I was reading the scriptures. And he said, I think we should call it the Dominion of Canada. And he showed him in the scripture. And they said, that's what we'll call it. And up until 1982, I think it was referred to as the Dominion of Canada. Here we are right there on the globe and from sea to sea. Here's one of the 25-cent paper money. Some of you probably remember this too. Dominion of Canada. Here we have the provinces, different things going on there. The flags, our parliament building. Just a couple of thoughts. Today we're involved in battle. Our soldiers are fighting in Afghanistan. In other parts of the world are keeping peace and all these different things. We ought to thank God that we got a military, that God has blessed them, God has protected them, and we ought to respect them. We're in the States, and some of you know what I'm talking about. You go down to Branson, Missouri. They have all kinds of shows there. man, I don't know about anybody else, but every time I go, right, they always honor their military, the armed forces, their infantry, their navy, and to get the people to stand up, and they sing, and we're in a couple of programs. Right? I mean, one guy just asked everybody about it, and they're going to pray for them, right in the middle of the thing. I mean, and the place was filled with people. You know, we ought to be doing the same for our military. We ought to be respecting them, thanking God for them. You know, these people are giving their lives to keep the freedoms that we hold so dear. Here's our Prime Minister with President, Here's some of our soldiers, Kandahar International Airport. Again, dealing with some of the things over there. This man got killed the week. He is number 148. Here's when he landed in Trenton yesterday. These two got killed. Well, I heard it this morning. I don't know if they got killed last night or time difference. These two got killed today. Brought up to 150 that Canada's lost. We've all seen pictures like this before. We were coming out two or three of us, me and Dave and two or three of us, coming out one time from Toronto. And see the parades, you know, people lined up on the bridges. This is in the wintertime we were there. And man, it was bitterly cold, and people were up on the overpasses, the Highway of Heroes. And we ought to thank God for those that are paying the sacrifice. This is a picture. This is only 80 on there. There's 150 now. This is a picture I found on the internet yesterday. These are faces of people that have been killed over in Afghanistan. There's 150 soldiers that have been killed, and there's four civilians that have been killed so far in Canada. This week we got the G8 and the G20 meeting in Huntsville. Some of the world leaders coming. Here's a G8. Again, for picture ops and different things. Then we had a G20. How many have been following the news and looking at all the violence? Man, the world's crazy. Here's some of the protesters yesterday in Toronto. Some of them shouting at the police, burning cars. This is in Toronto yesterday. You know, this is what happens when the people forget who the real authority is. You know, there are people that came out, and there's nothing wrong. I mean, our Constitution gives people the right to protest if they don't agree with something, to come out and peacefully protest and let their views be known and stuff like that. That's a God-given blessing that we have in our country, because sometimes we have to stand up for things that we don't agree with. But when it becomes violent and you get a bunch of hoodlums that break off from the main groups and cause all these problems, this is where the problem starts. Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Happy 143rd birthday, Canada. And we're not going to sing it again, it's too hard to play. Because, oh Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love, in all thy son's command. Realize the blessing that we have, we ought to be the most thankful people on this planet. Be able to live in a country and in North America where we have the freedom. You get the same freedoms in the States. We could just live in freedom. And our freedom, our freedom of religion supposedly is guaranteed by our Constitution and everything else. With glowing hearts we see thee rise, a true North, strong and free. From far and wide, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. God keep our land glorious and free. O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. Praise God.
left at an empty grave. The sinner and the sacred result. And all of creation, sing with me now. Lift up your voice and lay your let his glory reside. Time is fading, and we see.